Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Wild West Brew Fest in Katy. Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. You know how to ask those questions. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. The Astros won yesterday on opening day. It was fantastic to see them open up the season with a dub, 162-0. Is it possible? I'm kidding. But I did like some things that I saw in game one, and I want to know if this is the correct take or if this is an overreaction. Number one, Framber shoved. It was a good performance by him. 7 innings pitched, only 4 hits allowed. The real danger, only danger he faced was really the first inning, second inning, third inning, everywhere the rest of the game. He looked damn good. 4 strikeouts with 4 hits allowed. I came away from that game feeling like it's a mistake that the Astros did not talk to Framber at all about an extension. At least go through the motions. At least say, yeah, this is where we think you're at. This is where you could be at. Would it be lying to him? Probably. But it's one of these things where I know Jim Crane is letting Dana Brown, GM of the Astros, run things to a degree. But I know that Dana Brown is not fully able to do everything he wants, because if you take a look at Dana Brown in the past with the Braves, Dana Brown got deals done. Dana Brown got long-term extensions done. And it's going to be really hard to replace Framber, even if the guy has those moments where you're like, what is he doing out there? Why is he having a meltdown? He's a very difficult left-handed pitcher to get hard contact off of. It's basically perfect for baseball today. And how do you replace a guy like that if you lose him, if you just let him walk? So you can call this an overreaction after just one game, but I feel like we should all be in agreement on this. The Astros should have talked to him before the season began about an extension. Just talk to him. You don't have to actually follow through with it. I hope he has a great year. I do think it's going to be his last year here.
Yeah, I think the worst part of it is just the inaction. Like, there should be at least some action, whether it be talk to him to try to get a deal done. Obviously, they probably thought they were too far apart. I'm guessing that's why they didn't even bother, which does lead to your speculation. I agree with it that he's gone when the offseason hits. But to me, the worst thing is doing nothing. Like, if you come to the realization that there's no chance in hell we can re-sign him, kind of like they did with Kyle Tucker, then the prudent move, what's kept the Rays relevant for so long, despite salary cap restriction, not salary cap, but money restrictions, is to trade him.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw, obviously the haul for Kyle Tucker is already paying off dividends with Isak and Cam Smith making it to the major leagues. So I thought, like, if we'll see what happens when the season's over. Maybe they surprise us all. But I think the worst thing you can do in this situation is let him walk out for a comp pick.
100%. Overreaction or the correct take after opening day? The new addition's already a success. I think it's an overreaction, but I did like what I saw from these guys, even though it wasn't the most productive performance. If you take a look at the 3 new faces in the Astros lineup, you had Isak Paredes, you had Christian Walker, and you had Cam Smith. Cam Smith, he got a hit in his major league debut. Good for him. That is something that I imagine over time can build and build as far as pressure goes. So the fact that they were able to get him that first hit, that he was able to get that first hit in his first game, monkey off his back. That's got to be thrilling for him. So, first off, you start off with that, great. You do not, at least for one game, have a slump brewing. We'll see, though, because we've seen with Alex Bregman and we've seen with Kyle Tucker in the past when they first came up, there were long periods of slumps. Isak Paredes, he was 0-for-3 with a walk. He's in the 2 spot. Oh, he didn't have a hit. Oh, what's he doing out there? But he drew 23 pitches, and he did draw that walk. I need Isak Paredes in that 2 spot, especially if he's batting in front of Yordan Alvarez, to see as many pitches as possible because, you know, something we've talked about with Jeremy Booth before, our front office insider at ESPN Houston, when the Astros find themselves with Jose Altuve taking one pitch, swinging at it, and either getting a home run or flying out, it doesn't help the guys who are after him in the lineup. So having Bregman after Altuve in the 2 spot where the Astros had their best record last year was helpful because Bregman, he takes a lot of pitches. Paredes, over the course of his career, has been so good at forcing 3-2 counts, fouling balls off with a 3-2 count. This is a guy who I really like in that 2 spot and, of course, projects well for a righty-friendly, pull-hitter-friendly ballpark like Daikin Park. So this performance to open up, 0-for-3 with the walk, but 23 pitches drawn, that was good. And then continuing to talk about the new additions, is it already a success after one game? Again, probably a stretch, probably an overreaction, but Christian Walker, who was 1-for-4 with a run, was slamming the ball. I mean, slamming it. He was 100 miles per hour plus each time that he made contact with it. And it did result in one hit, didn't result in hits every single time, but that's a really good sign for a guy who, you know, I think some were wondering, hey, his numbers maybe not exactly trending upwards anymore. Is a Jose Abreu fall off possible? I think we're all a little bit paranoid about our first base because of that. So
I've got a little PTSD from the exit velocity conversation because that was the overwhelming selling point when Jose Abreu came here. He's like, look, I know his home runs went down, but exit velocity, barrel rate. And that it didn't matter at all. So I'm not saying that with – I don't think that's the case at all with Christian Walker. I just have PTSD from barrel rate, exit velocity conversation.
I feel you. I mean, I hate it too. I hate that the sport has gone in this direction where we're talking about like that and launch angle and Klong Dorp and all these other stupid advanced statistics. I effing hate it. But, hey, that's what the sport is these days. So hopefully these guys will build off of what they did in game one, but I liked what I saw. Altuve's approach at the plate, I think he actually listened to Joe Espada. So is this an overreaction, or is this actually what happened? Is Jose Altuve going to be different as a hitter this coming season? I did think it was noteworthy, and again, we're reacting to one game, but that Altuve, in his first at-bat, he took the first 2 pitches. In his second at-bat, he took the first 2 pitches. In his fourth at-bat, He took the first 3 pitches. So Altuve, generally impatient at the plate, swings at everything, was taking pitches to open up at bats. Like he was actually trying to draw hitter-friendly counts, which we haven't seen from him in the past. Now, he struck out in all 3 of those at bats for what it's worth. But the bat where he got a hit was where he was being his old self. Swung at the first pitch, got a hit the second pitch. So I'm curious as to what happens going forward because I imagine Altuve is really taking everything the Astros are telling him to do to heart. He moved to left field. Did all right in left field. I mean, the moment with Jake Myers was in the first inning. Myers called him off.
He took over.
He took over, and maybe there's a little control freak thing with him because he also was like, yeah, I got to call off Jeremy Peña on a pop-up to shortstop because the outfield gets to call off an infielder. And he was kind of pumped about that, and I was sort of like, all right, relax, dude. Relax about the power here. But, you know, outside of that moment where he almost collided with Myers, he made 3 catches, and he cleanly fielded 3 balls. But as a batter, I was wondering if he would be different this year because Joe Espada made a big deal about that this offseason. And I think Jeff Blum brought it up on the Space City Home Network broadcast. The Astros saw like 1,400 less pitches last year than they did the season before. They were a little over-aggressive at the plate, a little jumpy. And I don't know if that was because Dusty Baker was gone and Joe Espada was in his first year, but it does feel like they have a little bit more of a plan, and it feels like Altuve is actually following that plan after one game. Maybe that is the correct take. Maybe that's an overreaction. You tell me. The last one, is this an overreaction or the correct take? I thought Ryan Stresley was done. He's gone. And I thought that the bullpen would be a little bit less acid reflux-inducing than they were last year without Presley. And then yesterday afternoon happened. I mean, the end of that game with Brian Abreu after getting the first two outs, walking three guys, walking the bases loaded, and then Josh Hader throwing, what, like 35 pitches and having a bases loaded situation facing Juan Soto, which he did get out of, and like the Chronicle wrote an article about it, blah, 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 looks so great. But like, I want to feel at ease with these guys on the hill. I never felt that last year, and I think everyone's always a little stressed with their bullpen in. But I'm tired of being stressed for Josh Hader. You're paying him too much money for me to feel this stressed. I don't like that kind of thing, okay? That's all I'm trying to say. So, were those the correct takes, or were those overreactions after opening day? 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. From the 409, just kept waiting for Fromber to implode. Only a matter of time before a meltdown. Well, he has the meltdowns, but he's regularly consistent. I mean, you take the bad with the good. The bad is rare with Fromber, but when it happens, it is very noticeable, and it really pisses you off, especially if it happens in the playoffs. Also from this same texture in the 409, Altuve almost cost you with that route that he had, running into Jake Myers nearly. Horrendous. Jake Myers didn't seem too peeved about it, but then again, like the power dynamics in the Astros organization, Jake Myers is lucky to be in the starting lineup. Altuve's Altuve.
Yeah, let's start an argument with Altuve, Jake Myers. See how that works out.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah.
You know who holds the power.
Yes, exactly.
It ain't you.
It's Altuve. King of Twitch says it's one game, but I think the offense will be okay. Yeah, I mean, it's the first game of the year. I'm not stressing about the offense. I like the approach. I think that the patience is good. I mean, Clay Holmes was out after the fifth inning. Or before the fifth inning was done. Like, they got him out of the game early, and then that's the Mets' number one guy, at least for now, you know? So the fact that they were able to drive that guy out of the game because they were, I think, being patient at the plate is a good sign. And I've been a big believer in this since I was a kid. Like, you want a team that forces pitchers to work. That's one of the things.
Especially in front of Yordan.
Right, exactly. But just any team. Any team. Force pitches. You know, it used to drive me crazy how long Red Sox games were when I was a kid growing up in Boston. But, I mean,
half of that was Nomar adjusting his batting gloves, though.
Yeah, just a little bit. But, I mean, the Red Sox lineups of the 03, 04 years, like, they would make you work. And they had a lot of good hitters, but they really made you work. And ever since I saw that, I was like, I'm a big believer that you just force the other team to throw as many pitches as they will possibly be able to throw, and eventually they will make a mistake. And it's on you to pounce on it then, but these guys are major leaguers, and you should have the opportunity to, assuming that you force guys to throw as many pitches as possible to get you out. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We are live at Typhoon, Texas. It does seem like there's a bit of a typhoon outside, and no, I'm not talking about the park. Raining a little bit. Tonight, though, 7 p.m. for the Wild West Brew Fest is going to be a launch party with a live auction at 8. You can pre-purchase drink tickets for tonight's event and for tomorrow's event at wildwestbrewfest.com. Killer Bees are going to be here next. 713-780-3776 to call to text on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Wild West Brew Fest in Katy. Here's Paul Gallant.
Hell yeah to that promo that we had for John and Lance. Lance is taking it to Jeremy Branham with a crowbar.
You like that?
I love that. Well, absolutely love that.
Here.
Yeah, you know what? Going forward, I think that's what we got to do. Because I don't think that any of the shows listen to one another. I could be wrong.
I know Jeremy doesn't.
Yeah, and I don't.
I found that out yesterday.
I don't either.
Okay.
I'm so more of a podcast guy.
I doubt John listens to the other show because he's playing golf and playing poker.
So the only way that I guess these shows can all communicate with one another here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 is if we all just talk a lot of crap about each other.
There you go.
And put it in the commercial breaks.
Who do you want to take a shot at right now?
I got no one right now. There was beef a week ago, but the beef has been quashed.
Okay.
The beef was quashed on Monday.
All right.
I quashed it because I honestly thought
that was at the top of your list. I wasn't sure.
No. I'm on good terms with person who remains nameless. Though in that moment, I lost my mind and I'm still kind of embarrassed. I threw a little temper tantrum last Friday. I just snapped. Basically, like the place that we were doing the show at on Friday, they just had the TVs on the loudest volume all show long, and I was slowly going crazy. And then someone made a certain comment, and I lost my mind. Like I haven't lost my mind on that and someone in like years, because normally I just get angry at myself or at situations that are out of my control. No, I'm actually still embarrassed about that. Anyway, hey, we're at the Wild West Brewfest. Wow, wow.
Were you about to go Wicca Wicca Wild Wild?
Wicca Wild West Brew Fest.
I thought you were.
Why not go to the Wild West Brew Fest at Typhoon, Texas? See, we rhymed. Will Smith, by the way, he's back to doing rap.
Is he?
Yeah, he is.
Is that what we're calling it, rap?
Hey, I like Will Smith raps, but that perhaps is the whitest thing I've ever said
in my life.
That is
pretty white.
I liked it. Why? What do you want? What do you want from me?
Parents just don't understand. Because I'm big at the Glon household.
Yeah. I don't swear in my records. I don't swear in my raps to sell records. Although I think that's just an Eminem line. And Eminem says, like, so bleep him and bleep you too. But yes, with the Wild West Brewfest. Wild West Brewfest. I'm going to keep on doing that. I'll show along wildwestbrewfest.com.
Just waiting for you to break out into Miami.
Yeah. On YouTube at ESPN News and on Twitch at ESPN 975 713-780-377. Text to call the text. It is that time of the show, and sorry, I have not put any bells and whistles together for a show open, but your weekend homework. So the Astros, they got three games this weekend. If you want to go to the games, you can. Tickets are as low for their game on Sunday as $29 with Spencer Arrighetti on the hill. Actually, check that. They're not playing on Sunday. What?
Yeah, I know. It's really weird.
That's annoying. Yeah. I guess it's because it's the Houston Open or something like that. But so this weekend, tonight, the Astros play the second game of their series against the New York Mets on Apple TV Plus. Yes, it's on Apple TV Plus. I just went on Apple's website asking, how do you watch Friday Night Baseball in the Apple TV app? Because it says with Apple TV Plus, you can watch live Major League Baseball games. But I have no idea if I actually need to have a subscription. From the sound of things, it makes it seem like you just need to have the Apple TV app.
I know in the past they offer trials around this time, so you might be able to watch tonight.
Yes,
at least.
So maybe create a new account with different email address, because it does say you need an Apple TV Plus subscription. So yes, we're helping you guys get around the system. Obviously, there's ways to stream things, but we're not doing that. We're just going to tell you the old-fashioned way that is technically legal to watch these games. Create a new email account, go to Apple TV Plus, and subscribe.
The way my forefathers got around
these
subscriptions.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how you can watch tonight's game. It is annoying that the second game of the year is already on Apple TV
Plus.
I want more Todd Gallis. I want more Jeff Blum. I want more Julia Morales, okay?
Todd, speaking of this Mets series, Todd's only working one game of this series because the Saturday game's on Fox.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's true.
They finally get to the start of the season, and TK and Blummer only got one game.
Yeah, you're already getting a vacation in your first weekend.
Two out of the first three, they're off.
Astros-Mets on Saturdays on Fox. First pitch, 6:15 for that one. So that's the Astros front of your weekend homework. As far as March Madness, the college basketball schedule this weekend. Tonight, games start at 6:09. You got Ole Miss taking on Michigan State. I'm taking Michigan State in that game. They're 3.5-point favorites. Tennessee and Kentucky in the Hillbilly Bowl. The battle for the squirrel on a stick. Tennessee, 4.5-point favorites over Kentucky. Tennessee's
loser
a bunch
leaves
of
the holler.
Yeah, the loser has to get electricity and learn how to read. So Tennessee, Kentucky, I'm taking Kentucky. Tennessee's a bunch of choking dogs.
Just tell me which team was coached by Rick Barnes, and I'll take the opposite.
Is Rick Barnes the coach of Tennessee?
He is.
There you go.
Yep.
So you're taking Kentucky as well.
I am.
Michigan and Auburn at 8:39 on CBS. Auburn, 8.5-point favorites. I think Auburn's a bunch of frauds.
I mean, their first round game, I forget what 16 seed they were playing, but that game was close until halfway through the second half.
Yeah.
So was their second round game was close for a while.
That's true. But also Alabama's game against Robert Morris was so close, and then they scored
100,000
points last night against school that I have forgotten, BYU, right? BYU, the story
of
the Mormons?
Yeah, Alabama, BYU.
There was a moment where the Mormons looked like they were getting back in the game, and then they got called for a technical foul, probably because someone said, like, right darn tootin' after he hit a three-point shot. And then, of course, the big game is our beloved Cougs against Purdue, 9:09. That game's going to be on TBS. The Cougs are 8.5-point favorites. The over-under for this game is 133.5. It's actually gone up a point. So I'm taking the under. I'm taking the under. This is being played in a football stadium. You know, it's at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, as is that Tennessee-Kentucky game. It screws with your depth perception. Ask any basketball player when they play in these arenas that aren't traditional arenas, because the stands behind the hoop, the additional space, it just makes it weird and wonky. And while the Cougs are a much better shooting team than they've been in years past, I think this will be something that will be a tough obstacle for both teams to overcome. Maybe watching the other teams play will help them out a little bit, but
maybe.
I don't know, though.
I would take the under in Tennessee-Kentucky, too, because Tennessee's a great defensive team, plus, obviously, same factor with the NFL stadium.
And you get, I mean, look, if I'm not 100% sure of, like, the rules of allowing people into the stadium before the game. But
I'm sure they have a shoot-around.
But the thing about it from this perspective, for the shoot-around for the second game, you're going to barely have any time. So
yeah, I just mean they're probably shooting around yesterday.
You're probably right. There's a shoot-around yesterday. I bet there's a shoot-around today before, ultimately, you know, you've got the shoot-around between Kentucky and Tennessee, because the winner of that game plays the Cougs. But there you go. That's your March Madness weekend homework for Friday night. Tomorrow, Tech's playing Florida at 5:09 on TBS. Alabama's playing Duke. Alabama against Duke is very intriguing because I can't believe how many three-point shots Alabama hit. Honestly, if I'm Alabama, I'm kind of mad that I hit as many of those three-point shots because I want to save some of those three-point shots.
Fired
for the next
all your
game.
Bullets.
Yeah, I mean, what are the odds that they shoot 50% on 50 shots from outside?
Mark Sears went 10 of 16 by himself.
That
10
is
of
insane.
16. And he was like, Youngblood was 5 of 11. Holloway off the bench was 6 of 13. Mm-hmm. Like, it was unbelievable.
I'm rooting for Roll Tide, Roll. Roll Tide. Roll damn Tide. So there you go. Those are the games tomorrow. The Rockets, what are they doing this weekend? What are those guys up to? Those rascals. Those rascals who took their sweet time to beat the Jazz, but still won and have been on a roll. They have won. Let me do my little math here. 11 of 12. Pretty impressive streak that they're on now that Fred VanVleet's been back. Sunday, they play their last truly easy game outside of another game that they have against the Jazz on April 2nd. They play the Phoenix Suns on Sunday, 8 p.m. tip-off.
That must be national TV, right?
NBA TV.
Oh, well, that's weird.
Your last chance to make Kevin Durant and Devin Booker want to force their way out to Houston over any other team. So, you know, put on cool uniforms and do your best. Durant apparently possibly an item for the Boston Celtics. I heard that reporting.
I don't see the
over the
fit
last
there.
Couple of days. I don't either.
With
I don't
Tatum
like
and Brown. How does he fit?
I don't either. I wonder what they would have to give up to get him too. Like, you're going to actually have to give up a good player. I hope not. The Houston Roughnecks. They're playing tonight. I wonder how that game will go with the torrential downpour that's taking place outside. You know, we're sitting here out at Typhoon, Texas, in the midst of a typhoon as we get ready for the Wild West Brewfest. The Roughnecks are going to play the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Are they the defending champions?
Good question. No clue. But
I think they are.
I'll be honest. Like, if I'm not paying attention to the UFL.
If they played it in your backyard, would you watch?
I might. But I just hate that they let Wade Phillips go. Like, Wade Phillips is the head coach.
Yeah,
it was cool. It made it feel like a little more Houston than it is. So Roughnecks Battlehawks, that game at 7 p.m. at TDECU Stadium if you want to go watch a little UFL action. The Houston Open is underway. I wonder if it's been paused.
Yeah, play's been suspended, right?
I would think so. It says round two is currently in progress for a purse of $9.5 million. It's on NBC, ESPN+, Golf Channel, and Peacock. Here's my homework assignment. Listen, I get it. You're not supposed to heckle at a golf match, but if you're a true fan of Paul Gallant, and if you can find a way to heckle Rory McIlroy, we will play that audio on the air. We will play that audio on the air. Is that bad for golf? Maybe. Maybe. But I think that golf needs to be a sport for the people. I hate Rory McIlroy. He's a Northern Irish traitor. Northern Ireland, traitors. Okay? I want Rory McIlroy to lose, and I guess he's out there. So, heckle Rory McIlroy. How about that? By the way, Scottie Scheffler, he leads. He's 11 under through 12 holes. It says it's in progress, but...
I mean, it technically would be, right, if they started?
I'm looking outside. It doesn't look like it should be in progress.
We are in Katy. That's at, what, the Memorial Park?
Yeah.
Course. So, I mean, it could not be raining there. But.
I don't know. We'll see, though. Anyway, we are out here at Typhoon, Texas for the Wild West Brew Fest. Other things as part of your weekend homework assignment at 2:15, things to do in Houston this weekend. You could go to the movie theater. Here are the movies that come out this weekend. Ooh, we got a Jason Statham movie.
Hell yeah.
I'm so excited for this. Jason Statham is the same character. He's been in every movie for his entire career. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you with a shovel. I'm a working man. I was a beekeeper in the last movie. It was called The Beekeeper. Now this movie's called A Working Man. We've given up on actually giving me a job title because I just do the same thing in every movie. I've got a bit of a growl in my voice and I'm British. And I'll beat your ass. And it's in my contract. I can't lose to anyone in a fight. Also coming out.
That's a good Statham, by the way.
Thank you.
That was pretty good.
That actually was good.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I didn't hate it.
I thought it was just a butchery of like the British language or the British accent with the little Statham on it.
Okay, I mean, that
I
too.
That.
But yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. Suck it, Rory.
Yeah. We won a war. We can make those jokes.
Yeah.
If they wanted you to treat their accent with respect, they should have won the war.
That's true. That's so true. That's so true. And unfortunately, you know, the Irish Republican Army couldn't win the war against the British. And Rory McIlroy should represent Ireland and not Northern Ireland, but whatever. Death of a Unicorn opens today as well. So that's the movie that has Paul Rudd and Jenna Ortega. It actually sounds like it might be like a fun, dark comedy. A father and daughter accidentally hit and kill a unicorn en route to a weekend retreat. It has a 57% on Rotten Tomatoes. Richard E. Grant, who is also in it, as is Tia Leone and the guy from the movie with the TV show with Bill Hader, Barry, the guy who's like, you know, the kind of gay Russian mobster. He's in this movie.
You identify?
Anthony Carrigan, no comment on the matter. No comment on the matter. And a Will Poulter, who's from a bunch of movies. You definitely recognize him. So that movie actually looks like it could be fun, but not getting the best reviews. TV, another episode of The White Lotus. I don't know how they outdo the last episode they did.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
See what those
I don't know how you outdo the last
one.
I know, it's serious. Duke is mad because apparently the father of the family that the American family,
yeah.
Apparently they're mad that he's been seen shooting a gun while wearing a Duke t-shirt, which is definitely like a lock for soft boy number one next week.
Guys, if you have not seen White Lotus yet, I feel like this...
I have not.
I feel like the fact that Duke is upset at how they're being portrayed by a character who's an alum of Duke and wears a t-shirt in like four scenes... That should get you to watch the show by itself because
it is
box office.
Is Walton Goggins being in it? But
yeah, yes. Walt Goggins being in it,
he's great.
It's amazing too. Yeah,
but this is like Goggins is like an afterthought in this. Like this
role
one
player.
Specific family, I gotta say they are deliciously messy. Like the only character who's boring is the daughter. It's an anthology show, so like you don't necessarily have to watch.
Oh, so season by season, it's a different cast?
Like they're connected, but they're connected very loosely. This one's a little bit more connected to a season of the past.
Because I remember Aubrey Plaza was in one season, but
right.
I noticed she wasn't on the picture for this season.
No. So, Jennifer Coolidge also was in season one and season two, not in season three. That is actually noteworthy, but if you watch this show... And if you saw the last episode, you know exactly what we're talking about. And, like, it's one of the most...
I've heard a lot of reactions.
It's one of the most disturbing things that I've ever seen in TV.
You also kind of
like,
get...
This is not a stretch.
You also kind of get why Duke is mad. Like, you kind of... I understand why Duke is mad.
Yes.
Was someone wearing a Duke shirt during the act?
Not during that.
No.
No,
but he is a grad.
That's what's funny. Like, Duke is mad about something that's very minor by comparison to the craziest thing that happened in the episode. So that's out. I know the Jack Reacher season finale is out, too.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah, there you go, guys. That's your weekend homework in Houston this weekend. Also, there's the Tomball German Heritage Festival.
And the Wild West Brewfest.
And the Wild West Brewfest as well. The French Culture Festival. Yeah, that's all sorts of fun things to do. And I guess from a stand-up perspective, Fred Armisen was here last night. Damn, I didn't know that. Damn. Anyway, there you go. Paul Gallant Show. Most interactive sports tech show in Houston. Stick around.
But first, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks. Maybe this can be part of your homework. Maybe your homework is to download the Prize Picks app today, just in time for the Astros to start their season. Not just in time, actually. They started yesterday. But there's still time. 161 more games for you to make some money on the Houston Astros or, tonight, the Houston Cougars. We've been talking about it all show. It's being played in a football stadium. Also, it involves the Houston Cougars, so probably going to be a low-scoring game, specifically for Purdue point guard Braden Smith. Maybe you want to take less than 13 points for Braden Smith tonight. He's going to be bricking a bunch of shots. So, Juwan Roberts going to get more than 6.5 rebounds. And, of course, it's a big game. You think LJ Cryer is going to score more than 16.5 points. You can win 7 times your money by doing that tonight on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly after promo code MAPES on your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win that lineup to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Wild West Brewfest in Katy. Here's Paul Gallant.
Want anything Friday? Some questions from the 281. Paul, what's the dumbest purchase you ever bought? Insert item of clothing. Your boy buys way too many clothes. Way too many.
Nothing specific?
No, because I actually am proud of all my Hawaiian shirt purchases, but I have bought way too many t-shirts over the course of my life. Way too many. I have them hanging up on a hanger in my closet, and the hanger, which is like, it's an older closet. It's a condo I bought. It's a fixer-upper. I'm going to have to fix the closet eventually. The like rack where it's all hanging is sagging, and it's from t-shirts. Like, I don't have that many button downs, but I have a ton of t-shirts, and I have a ton of Hawaiian shirts. Hell, I even have a ton of flannel shirts, but like actual dress button downs.
What, you have a grunge phase?
Well, it's in Seattle.
Okay.
Flannel is perfect for Seattle. It's perfect for Seattle. Like, not just because of the grunge side of things. Apparently, if you have a flannel shirt, that means that's, you lean a specific way sexually? I never heard
that
before.
I've heard that one.
But a couple people in the text line have brought that up before. Also, on an Ask on Anything Friday from the 281, are you good at picking up on social cues? Yes, I am. I am very good at it. I can tell generally based off of the way someone's looking at me, how things are going. Obviously, it's a little bit different.
Are you just talking about with the opposite sex?
I'm with everybody.
Okay.
I think I'm honestly, I'm an overthinker. So I will see things in people when I feel like they're getting annoyed with me, like, I generally just stop talking, okay. Which is funny to think of because I host a talk show
for a living, yeah.
And I do it by myself and basically, like, without someone like BMAC here to react to it or Sean back in Mission Control to, like, throw me a pity laugh from time to time. I have no idea if what I'm saying is even good. But when I'm out in the wild, yeah, I can pick up on social cues. And it sucks. I wish I didn't. I wish I was just a completely oblivious idiot that, and I am an idiot, but I wish I was oblivious, you know? That would be nice. So, Ask on Anything Friday. We are at Typhoon, Texas. There is actually a typhoon outside, but we're not here for the water slides. We are here for the Wild West Brewfest. They have their launch party tonight at 7 p.m. with a live auction at 8. We're in the midst of that auction room. There's furniture everywhere thanks to American Furniture Warehouse, and I think actually that some of the furniture might be part of the auction. But yeah, I see a Miller Lite cooler. That looks pretty awesome. I think, is that a Yeti cooler? It's got a little bottle opener on it. You got some cool Buffalo Trace whiskey and Traveler whiskey. Buffalo Trace is some good stuff. Yeah, things are coming together for what ought to be a fantastic time tonight, the Wild West Brew Fest. And also, 80 breweries and more than 500 beers with live music. So that'll be tonight and also tomorrow. So you want to get out here for that. It's an Ask Alon Anything Friday. You can ask any question at 713-780-3776 to call in to text in. Junior Broncos asks me this question. Paul, are you aware you sound like Tim Dillon? Yes, it's like honestly something that someone brought up to me a couple of weeks ago. And since Tim Dillon's my favorite podcaster slash comedian, it's actually concerning. Like, I'm legitimately concerned about this, that I listened to this person too much, and that all of a sudden I've started sounding like this person. I know.
Kind of like when someone moves to a different country and their accent goes away, or they pick up the local accent, you think you're adopting this man's
voice? It's not that
voice?
As much as it's BMAC. Like, this is, I listen to a lot of stand-up comedian podcasts, and something I've noticed that all these comics will bring up is that sometimes, subconsciously, without even knowing it, comedians will start copying other comedians. But I guess everyone at one point in time was basically doing Dave Attell. That's the one that constantly gets brought up. So this is something that actually annoys me, and it's something I have to work on, is that sometimes, yes, I am aware of the fact that I sound a little bit like Tim Dillon, and I'm probably thinking, wow, this is the only podcast that I listen to every single episode of and that I actually subscribe to the Patreon of, so that might be the reason I am. So, yeah, Junior Broncos, I'm well aware of it, and I'm, like, to the point where it's, as an overthinker, it's detrimental to me. So I have to try to stop. Sadly, we were both good at ranting, but he's just a little bit better. Just a little bit. And by a little, I mean a lot. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text it on YouTube at ESPN, use it on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. One last segment, last chance to dance. We'll take a look back at a story that we discussed earlier in the show where an enemy of the Houston sports state remains the worst. Before we do some garbage time, Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Wild West Brew Fest in Katy. Here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance, Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. We're live at Wild West Brew Fest at Typhoon, Texas. WildWestBrewFest.com for tickets. Their launch party is tonight at 7, a live auction at 8. You can pre-purchase drink tickets. There's going to be so many breweries, over 80, with 500 beers and live music. That's not just tonight, it's also tomorrow. So, again, go to WildWestBrewFest.com for more information and for tickets. The Tennessee Titans are a sad, petty organization, a reflection of the person who originally owned the team, Bud Adams, and now his daughter, Amy Adams Strunk. I don't think the Titans have ever had a clue what they're doing or have ever had a plan that doesn't involve the city of Houston in some way, shape, or form. Yesterday, there was news from the Titans organization that Titans blue was going to become their primary home color starting in 2025. Clearly in retaliation to the Houston Texans adding, as an accent, as their third color, H-Town blue, which is a very similar shade of light blue to what the Titans have. Technically, their light blue is called Columbia blue, while the H-Town blue for the Texans light blue is Italy blue. I know.
Italy blue?
Italy blue, BMAC. Italy blue. it's a very slight shade difference, but the Titans are allowed to feature it predominantly in their uniforms. Weirdly, they haven't. They went to a more navy blue look with the new uniforms that they are currently sporting that does have a light blue alternate. And I think because they're pissed off that Houston is adding H-Town blue as an accent for a uniform that they wore, what, twice last year, this is what they are doing. And they're changing the name of Columbia blue to Titans blue. But in this release that they announced, they also revealed they're not going to wear their Oiler throwbacks this coming season, which I think is ridiculous because that's the uniform that they have that is definitely their most valuable piece of intellectual property. And it actually makes the NFL, I would imagine, a decent amount of money in jersey sales. No one's buying a Titans uniform. They're ugly, and they don't have anyone who's good. But going forward, Titans blue is going to be the primary uniform. They're not going to wear the Oilers uniforms, and they're not going to wear the Oilers uniforms because they've been exposed by the Texans twice with backup quarterbacks under center, not C.J. Stroud, for the Texans. They lost the game with Case Keenum under center in the 2023-2024 season, and they lost the game to end last year where the Texans weren't even trying and benched all their starters with Davis Mills under center. So it's really sad that they felt the need to put this announcement out while at the same time saying that they're not going to be wearing the Oilers uniform this year. But this is really what I want to get to as far as the Titans clearly have never made a decision in their history without thinking of Houston in some way, shape, or form. Because when they were in Tennessee, this is a passage from a piece that Brooks Kabina put together in The Athletic. Kabina used to be the Athletic reporter, the Houston Chronicle reporter for the Houston Texans. In this passage, I'd never heard this story before, but in 2006, per Jeff Fisher, within a few weeks of the NFL draft, Jeff Fisher and the Titans GM at the time were prepared to spend the number 3 overall pick on Jay Cutler, who, of course, was quarterbacking for Vanderbilt. They had coached him in the Senior Bowl. But Jeff Fisher said that Bud Adams, who was still kicking it at the time, instructed the Titans to take Vince Young over Jay Cutler. Vince Young was a Houston native, of course. He had just quarterbacked the University of Texas to a national title. And they said, you're getting Vince Young, even if it takes trading up to get him. Of course, if the Texans had taken him first overall, that wouldn't have been something that would happen. Titans executives and coaches heard that Bud Adams had seen Houston Mayor Bob Lanier's wife, Elise Lanier, on a radio talk show in Houston advocating for the Texans to draft Vince Young. And she said that if they don't sign slash draft Vince Young, she'd jump off a bridge. Adams let loose a comment with his directive to snag Vince Young, saying, per Jeff Fisher, he wanted to see her jump, which is insane. They drafted Vince Young because they thought it would piss off people that live in Houston against the wishes of Jeff Fisher and the Titans GM at the time. Not surprising that Jeff Fisher perhaps never really liked Vince Young when he was forced to draft him. Young, of course, had a really good rookie season, but struggled afterwards. Somebody, I think, texted in saying, like, you know what? They should have, the Texans, drafted Vince Young instead of Mario Williams. Mario Williams actually had a very good career. 4 Pro Bowls and 97 and a half sacks. People don't think about how many sacks he had because, okay, he maybe didn't love football as much as you would have wanted, but 97 and a half sacks over the course of a career, that's pretty damn good for a first overall pick. Williams was not a bust. He just wasn't exactly the personality type that everyone here wanted. He had a better career than Vince Young. Hell, Reggie Bush had a better career than Vince Young, okay?
Mario was clearly the best of the three.
For sure. So 97 and a half sacks, that was the right pick. But the fact that the Titans seemingly picked Vince Young entirely to spite the city of Houston is just so on brand. And that little tidbit, that little story yesterday about how they're going to call it Titans blue and actually wear that as their primary color, but not wear the Oilers uniform because they were so embarrassed playing against the Texans and losing 2 years in a row against backup quarterbacks while wearing those Oilers uniforms, is so on brand for that sad, pathetic, soft organization that truly does not matter. They are the NFL's most irrelevant franchise. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Time for a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
This is so hilarious. So, You guys might know that the Astros now play at Daikin Park, and that the train at Daikin Park has a new look. It's not just that they repainted it and now it's blue and orange. They also removed the oranges in the back because it was Minute Maid Park, and they replaced the oranges with baseballs. I just received a video. It comes from inside now Daikin Park at the Astros Authentic Store. The Astros Authentic Store sells game-used jerseys that are a little more reasonably priced because it's usually rando people you've never heard of that have played for the Astros. They sell some other things. Guess what they are selling? They are selling the oranges from the Minute Maid Park train.
Train-used oranges?
Train-used oranges, BMAC. And I gotta say, they look like absolute crap. They're beat to hell. Because a lot of these, they're not full oranges. They're just oranges that have been cemented on top of this. It looks like they have been dug out with, I don't know.
A chisel?
A chisel, or what are those, what's the pogo stick looking version of a chisel?
A jackhammer?
A jackhammer. They look like a jackhammer has been used to take them out. They literally look like just concrete debris that happens to have an orange texture.
I mean, they are.
Guess how much this costs?
Well, I can't guess. I already know.
$300 for these oranges.
For the half ones.
These half oranges that have been beat to hell. The full oranges, of which there are a few left per this video I saw posted. I think there's 4 full oranges left. The full oranges are $500. How broke are these guys? You're trying to sell this, and here's the sad thing, people will buy it. $500 for an orange from the Minute Maid Park, now Daikin Park, train. Guys, this is sad. This is sad. Anyone
Maybe
who buys
if we bought
this,
a few more oranges, we could have kept Bregman.
I would judge you if you bought this. I would judge anyone who bought this. Even if you have FU money, I would judge you. $500 for a fake orange that looks like it's been beaten with a hammer or chiseled with a jackhammer. Goodness gracious me, oh my. One last little tidbit. I don't know if this is like a fetish for Bill Belichick or what, but Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, the very young, strong, powerful, independent woman, she loves making Bill happy. And on today, March 28th, Jordan Hudson decided to wear a Super Bowl champions Falcons t-shirt. I wonder if Bill has to wear that during certain times and moments. Especially since the Falcons didn't hire him. This is the second time that she's gone viral.
Now, would he wear it or would she ask her to wear it?
Oh, yeah, he asked her to wear it. Yeah, yeah, it's the sexiest nightgown possible, this t-shirt.
Maybe she wears like a Kyle Shanahan Falcons mask.
Oh, no.
And he
no.
just screams out,
no.
Pass the ball.
No.
Pass it.
No, that's what people would accuse me of you know, doing. On that note, guys, just going to wrap up today's
I think this
edition.
Gave you a new fantasy.
No, it didn't. It didn't. This wraps up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Big thanks to our friends as part of the Wild West Brew Fest. WildWestBrewFest.com for tickets at Typhoon, Texas. Thanks to them. Big thanks to Brian McDonald out here. Sean Mapes back at Mission Control. To our texters, twitchers, YouTubers, and callers. And to everyone else who listened, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. The Killer Bees are next. Peace.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.